showed him how to turn it on.
Correct.
He was the first to turn them on.
No, he was the first to turn them on to use them to build pyramids.
Had they been turned on before the time
Never.
Of Octavius? Never. Well, if they'd never been turned on before, including by Octavius, then Moses was the first to turn them on. Correct?
No. They were also used in Babylon.
And Babylon was for Moses' era.
The reference that we're speaking about is...
Yeah, that old, Babylon.
Older and, than what you call Babylonia.
Right, right. So the...
Because you got to see, you're starting to think, you can't even get your own time together. So when you start giving these empirical references down of figuring out which came first, the chicken or the egg, well, good luck with that, because you don't got it right to start with. So, you know, you can't really get there from now. So it's okay, because there's only now. So you don't have to. But you go, no, I need to figure it out. I need to figure it out. Well, okay, well, good. But you don't even know where you started, so you don't know where you came from, so you don't know how to get to. So then you just give it to the point of like, well, we're screwed, so okay, be screwed. It's not a problem.
Look, I understand all that now. So when I refer to it an era, a time, I know I can correct me. I know it's stacked up now. So if I use words... Like even in session 31, Ion has to use the word time, even though there's no time, but in communication.
Exactly. So it's just a timed element that you're addressing. So even though many times you embrace false premises to quantify your expression of knowingness.
Yes. Okay, so the, Carolyn, I would like to see if Tetrad is in quantum. There's no mention of Tetrad in quantum math there. Ion said it relates to...
Why do y'all want apple pie? Who wants apple pie?
Nobody here constantly wants an apple pie.
With cheddar sharp...
J.W. I mean, that was something nice I used to have 40 years ago for my mother. Maybe that's coming up, but I'm certainly not conscious of it.
Well, and I don't even think they have apple pie, but boy, you're jonesing for apple pie with sharp Vermont cheddar cheese.
Okay, tetrad gravity. Can you give us a clue?
Sorry, while you're looking it up, we thought we'd...
Play. Yeah. There's a lot of references. That is like, look, quantum space-time and tetrads. That's... So, Ion, tetrads are used in quantum physics. Okay.
Yes.
The description of space-time and quantum in a quantum theoretical framework must be considered as a fundamental problem of physics. Most attempts... So, see, they're trying to figure out what time is, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And
that's exactly correct. And see, there you go. They're taking the answer, trying to use it to substantiate the question.
Right. Most attempts start with the already given classical space-time, then the quantization is done.
Good.
In contrast to this, the central assumption in this paper is not to start with space-time, but to derive it from some more abstract presuppositions. Okay, he makes a mistake. They're still going to try to derive it. You can't give it up, but to drive... Is
the
that
derivative,
like,
the derivative thereof equals the means of the sum of the balance of the status.
Right, is that... That's
well,
what
how
we,
can that be? If
well,
you could get there, then you had to have a chicken to get the egg. No, you had to have the egg to get the chicken. No. The formula was we have two eggs, and that got fertilized, and that made the first chicken. So those embryos, it's not the egg, it's the embryo. Gotcha. Okay.
Okay. Now, Ion just said before I came over here, Carol, something about talking about how to use time, but you can use it for whatever the phrase was, time. And Ion said, when I'm sitting in the chair there, you know, and I said, yeah, you can use time when you need to make a point or something, you know. This is what these guys are saying. Let us use the word time, you know, but to derive it from some abstract presuppositions like this is done in von Weizsäcker's quantum theory of alternative. is original. Mathematically transition from
Chaldees.
Right. Mathematically transition from our.
Well, that's what your ding dong band does too, isn't it?
Yeah, no, we got it. We understand. Let's just get this. Mathematically, the transition from a manifold with spin structure to a manifold with four real space time coordinates. Now, that must be the tetrad. Has to be considered. The suggestion is made that this transition can be well described by using a tetradial formalism, which appears to be the most natural connection between Ur spinors and real format. Very good. Now, if we could find out. You see, this is a whole new level of McLuhan that no one knew. Where can we find out what they need?
Yeah.
However, where can we find out the tetrahedral formulas of Carol? We need to find out.
Well, we look up the author, Lyle Holger, and see what else he's written and just start reading his stuff.
If he's not Hebrew, then it won't work.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Carol, just go to tetrahedral.
Doing something else, Carol?
No, I'm just...
sending something
to him. I'll just make sure we keep that Earl.
Very good. Can we go back and... Can we go back and just write in tetrahedral formalism, Google it, and see what we come up with?
Okay.
Because I want to see if it includes the extension, obsolescence, retrieval, which are variations of timing. Ah, tetrahedral formalism. Okay, let's try the extension. Tetrahedral formalism transform according to post to general relativity. In a tetrahedral formalism, a tetrahedron has basis chosen a set of four independent vector fields that together see a, those fields is a good term that together span the 4D vector space at each point in space time. All tensors of the theory are then expressed in this vector basis by projecting them against members of the tetrad. That's like the tetrad.
Mm-hmm.
For example, the space time metric itself can be transformed from a fixed coordinate basis to the tetrad basis. The advantage of the tetrahedral formalism over the standard coordinate-based approach to GR, that must be
general,
lies in the ability to choose a tetrahedral basis to reflect important physical aspects of the space-time. Often tetrahedral bases include orthonormal tetrahedrals and null tetrahedrals. The latter is frequently a problem dealing with radiation. You know, the basis of the Newman-Penrose formulas. Now, here's what I say, Carol. It's all a bunch of garble. And it's garbly enough to be similar to Mr. However's garbled process, either one's useful to get into the dynamic that you go here, you're going to affect something over there, call that obsolescent, but it'll retrieve something over here, like, and then it'll flip into something else. Like when Ion says you press here, something squirts out over there.
Mm-hmm.
That's the basic process, and that's what he was talking about today. What is the cause of a disease? Well, you can only tetrad it. You know, and look at different perspectives, but not get fanatic about which one it is, because Ion just explained we can't tell whether the chicken came before the egg. Correct, Ion? You following us?
Correct. Correct.
So isn't that incredible? We can use Mr. However's tetrad as a launching pad to better pentad, which is the fifth level.
Mm-hmm.
You see, there, in Franks and Groney said there must be a pentad. Well, we now know what the pentad is. It's a choice factor.
Hey, it worked out okay for Arthur, too.
King Arthur.
Pendragon.
Oh, is King Arthur the source of the Pendragon house?
Well, it's Uther. His dad.
Right, but so the Pendragons were before the Tudors count. So the Pendragon...
Yeah, that's what you think.
Oh, okay.
Well, a minute or two.
Yeah.
It was a close race. They were neck and neck, Bob, to the turn. It was just a tag team. You couldn't tell which one. They were like, here he comes. Pendragon, first in line. That's right. $10 on the nose. We had a perfect trifecta. Win, place, or show. Take them all.
Okay.
News at 11.
Now, the tetrad worked well for Arthur, is what you just said. Correct? Or the pentad. The pentad.
Pentad.
He was just making a joke about Pendragon.
Oh,
really?
Yeah.
He just went, really? He goes, tell, really? He wasn't making a joke. He was a good pun, but he's based on facts.
Okay, go for it,
But here's the thing. What is
really, it is. And then 6 months from now, we'll be discussing it again. But,
Yeah, the Pendragon is pentad.
Yes. Now, where did that come from? Run your exegesis on that one, Bob.
Bob. We used to say Bob. Ed Seaton's son, Noah, used to go Bob.
Bob.
Yeah, Carol. Noah used to talk like that. Okay, so the thing is, you just get used to the idea when you don't know what time it is, Carol. We're ancient, Carol, and we come from the past.
Yes, you do know what time it is. Your trick is, Bob, and here's the enlightened part that you're coming into, is now for the very first time ever, you do indeed know what time it is. That's the point. Now that you understand the false premise of time and you've actually embraced it, you know precisely what time it is.
Uh-huh.
And everyone else is trying to validate their place of being. they don't understand the beginning place of. But once you run through the dodecahedron of the coalescing of what equals the equal or equalizer,
yeah.
Then you validate and you can recognize how to merge the continuum. That's what we're talking about. That's what we've been trying to talk about. And that's what has to do with the Twin Towers, and that's the physics thereof that you didn't have time for the last three sessions. So now we're just trying to drive it in, and we're cheekily trying to step into that little crack. There was a crack in the door, and we were the vapors that were trying to fill the void. But that's the trick of the physics that you were trying to get to that was just going to cause questions.
All right, very good. So I know what time it is because I understand timing.
Yes. Yeah, you can pinpoint the timeless.
That's right. So,
but anyway, no, you just said that's right, but that's not. But that's
pinpoint
that being.
The timeless. Yeah, I can pinpoint the timeless. I exist in the timeless.
Good.
When you understand it, you know where you are. That's what I was trying to say to Kevin.
That's your equaler. That's what goes behind the equal sign.
The timeless?
No.
No, what is the, what goes beyond, what do you...
Pinpointing the timeless is what you now can look at the equation and go, this is equal to timelessness, and this is that. So this is that, so that is, so that equals timelessness. So then you can pinpoint it because you have the X value of the equation. So now from that point of knowing, you can rewrite all of your time history. Because the pinpoint now has been askew all along, and why the false premises don't hold up for your science.
Right. And Dan emphasizes the dodecahedron, but in my quadrant, the fifth level is the icosahedron. And is the pentad level of choice, that's where the human creator comes in.
Yeah,
the human creator can make it any way he wants.
Luther wanted no magicians, and he got Merlin.
Well, that's did he three? That's three. Going nah, or did he get a not karma, but did he get something he didn't want? Is Merlin what he didn't want?
Correct.
Because he was too much wanting something. He wanted. He resisted having magicians, and then he got one. But
correct.
He had a problem. But what's that got to do with the? The perfect point of the timeless. Well, okay, no, that was his. He was pen-padding it. Yeah, he was creating. I got it, Ion. You're laughing, you're learning.
We were hoping you'd come up to the point where you got the paradigm of the day and you'd say, oh, never mind.
No, I got it. Okay, now that's why I say, Ken, we're from the ancient past, not just from the future.
Mm-hmm.
We're not from anywhere.
You're from the ancient future.
You're from the ancient future, Ken. We're from the ancient future.
So how's it going, guys? Anybody still here?
I may have out.
Bird's here.
Still here, Bob.
Have you guys heard this before, lately?
I haven't.
I just heard it this week.
Right. He just said something. He says, never mind. He says, you'll get this, and then you go, never mind. That's an early point about erasing the mind.
Mm-hmm.
Get the concept of the game of the moment, and then forget it. Okay, so you guys still here? We'll finish this. How much? Maybe another 55 minutes. Let's see how it goes.
A good life. Well, we're from the ancient future. That's before we got into time.
Work for Soupy Sales.
You know who Soupy Sales is, Kel?
Vaguely.
Comedian in the 60s. I think he used to be on What's My Line or one of those kind of shows, right?
With Kitty Carlisle.
Yeah, you're right. There you go. Kitty Carlisle was the Queen of New York until recently. She passed on. She was one of the, for the Social Society. Her husband was the famous Broadway musical guy, Somebody Hart.
Oh,
She put Hedda Hopper on the map.
Right, and what was the name of her husband, Hart? Somebody Hart who did the
Gregory William J. Hart.
No, I don't think so, but you might be right. Not the one that comes. Okay, so here's the thing.
Got famous as known as they called him John Hart.
Okay, now we go to the physics of the Twin Towers. We're now prepared.
We did that already. That's past. That's already done.
No, we're coming around again. We're going to do the ancient future version of it. Okay. Are you ready for the ancient future? What is it? Yeah, are we talking about what demolition the Twin Towers? That's what we were discussing.
And we asked who built it.
Yes, and
nobody said.
Well, there's the...
They tried to blow it up in the 90s.
Yeah.
90s. Didn't work.
Yeah.
They didn't talk about who built it then. Apparently, they've been around forever.
Well, since the early 70s.
60s.
But wait a minute. Some Japanese guy designed it.
Okay. Oh.
That is not the builder?
No, the designer's not the builder.
All right. So when you say who built it, you mean who were the human beings who did the hard lifting and
The hard lifting, Bob.
Well, they worked the cranes.
Not necessarily. Not necessarily.
The construction company?
Well, fine. Why has that never been mentioned ever? Like, why was it never mentioned? Like, the Twin Towers have fallen to the chagrin of ABC Construction Company who gave their life's work to create these towers that would stand the test of time.
No, you're right. You don't.
Why not? Every block in Boston is named after some Riverian who laid the cobblestone streets that they still stroll upon. Every
Tishman, the Tishman something or other did it. So the Tishman Realty and Construction Company was a contractor. Mm-hmm. Structural engineer Leslie Robinson, architect Minoru
Yamasaki,
Emery Roth and Sons.
Tishman Realty, they built it. Now, you click on them, but Ion, is there something we're not knowing who they are?
Correct. They were just this, they just came out of nowhere.
A privately held firm, headquartered in New York, with operating subsidiaries located across the U.S., blah, 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 blah. Nothing really.
No. Right.
It's like four lines for the company
exactly.
That built the...
It was just like puffery.
Mm-hmm. You don't tell them they are. It provides a range of for a varying scope. Its experience includes product areas, including arts and culture, commercial, education, gaming, and everything. All right. Then say who owned them. 1898, Carolyn. They go way back.
They're way forward.
So, who's Tishman?
You're the creator.
Yeah.
We don't know. That's why we made the anomaly.
Is there a Mr. Tishman?
We're sure there probably is.
Okay, Bob.
You got as good a shot as anyway. That's not the point. The point is that was going to cause all these questions that hopefully we've now had a chance to answer all those questions.
Great.
So the dynamic of this structure, which is not anomalous to any other structure. See, the Twin Towers weren't made different than any other building ever. Correct?
Okay, I guess.
No.
How would I know if they were made differently?
Well, you seem to qualify everything else from one point or another somehow or another. So, however, I have to say about that, however, it was not something that was so outside itself that it was just a structure that had never been built. Now, in Kuala Lumpur, That structure is never been built like before.
Mm.
It's not from an exoskeleton that's holding it up.
Mm. That's right.
Okay, it is different.
Yes.
The Twin Towers were necessarily not.
Okay, right.
So, the point is, the way that this building is constructed from the beams on the inside, from the exoskeleton from the outside, it was a pier and a pier, which was a very normal building.
Pier and a pier, that's a technical phrase.
Well, that's because all the shell, and then they cantilevered the outside walls so that they had windows that could go for the ceiling, so you had these just panoramic views.
Yeah.
Because the guts of it was in the frame, the skeleton.
The middle.
Yes, and that's where all of the goodie was. All right, so now if it's built to that degree, now there's been storms. There's been storms in New York.
Yeah.
There's been a little bit of quaking. Remember when the Holland Tunnel had its problem from, they called it some kind of shifting or something,
yeah.
So they had to retrofit it.
And yeah.
That was a big mess, and they liked the lost queens over it and all that kind of stuff. All right. Started from the East Village. All right, so anyway, now you come to a place where you drive a plane into an endoskeletal building.
Yeah.
And what should happen is it should knock it the top off.
That's all.
That's all. For example, the Statue of Liberty, which soon the base will be underwater. You got into that section yet in your readings?
Yes, yeah, we did that back in the 20s. Yeah, the predictions of New York in 100 years, yes.
Well, it's not even 100 years, but okay.
But, you know.
But if you took a plane and you ran into the upper third of the Statue of Liberty, guess what would happen?
It would knock off the head, the top or third.
The head or the porch or something.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
But it wouldn't fall from the bottom, from the base down.
Right.
It implode on itself.
Right.
Because the way the exoskeleton of that statue is built, with girdings on the inside, retrofitted with this verdied patina on the outside.
Mm.
Okay? Same concept. So,
just for the record, Verdi patina. What's Verdi?
It's the color green of the Statue of Liberty.
Oh, you're still talking about the statue. It had this green patina. But then you shifted to the Twin Towers.
An exoskeletal outside layering. It's not what holds it together. The
okay.
Inside part
yeah.
holds it together.
The statue or the Twin Towers?
Both.
Okay, gotcha. Right.
So if you hit the Twin Towers with an airplane,
it'll knock the top off.
It would be very normal if you first would have hit. It didn't even knock the building down.
Right.
Now, wait a minute now. It was so well built that a full plane didn't. It went through the building
yeah.
and didn't knock it down.
Right.
Well, damn. But it made such a hot fire that it melted the base.
Right.
60 floors below.
That's what's stated, right? That's what stated was.
Well, no, your lying eyes witnessed it, so, you know, what do you think? Mm. And then, if the first one tower had hit right, the very best it should have done is knock that top off and maybe knock the top third of that into the other tower.
Right.
That's enough force. It could have a critical blow to the base of the second tower.
It could have knocked it over if that had happened.
Well, or caused enough damage that it could have, you know, made it a leaning tower of Pisa at the very least.
Yes.
Okay? Because the way that was built, if it was strong enough to withstand the blunt force trauma of a full plane hitting it, it should have just toppled over and fell flat and stayed together and just went kaboom, like laying down a tree.
Yeah, you mean the top should have, two-thirds would remain standing and the top would fall off.
Yes, and if it was so well built that it could withstand a plane running into it, then it should have just knocked the whole building over like it cut down a tree at the base and it fall down and go.
Oh, wait, I'm not getting it. You're saying it hits the top third, it should just knock the top off, and that's that. You're
and
saying
it's dosed, but it didn't do that. The plane hit it, and it didn't fall off.
Right.
So if it was enough trauma to make it implode upon itself, then it should have been enough to knock the entire tower over like making a tree fall, like the roots of a tree turn loose from the ground.
But it wasn't cut from the bottom. I don't see why it wouldn't knock. If the plane, it just failed to knock the top off, so it merged with the thing and burned up there. That does not mean it should, the whole two-thirds bottom part should fall over. Why are you making
the
that?
The fire didn't go 60 floors down.
Why are you saying that the building should have fallen over because a plane hit?
Because it didn't knock the top third of the building off.
Oh, you mean it was so hard, because the top third held its ground, it would have caused a bigger, like, resistance, and that would have pushed the whole building over.
It would have made more logical sense for it to have fallen over Battery Park.
Gotcha. That didn't happen.
Well, no. What happened was it struck, didn't knock the top off. A lot of time goes by. Nothing happens. There's a fire just because the plane was very hot when it exploded. Okay?
Yeah.
And then the next thing you know, bottom starts falling into itself, and then the next thing you know, the bottom is just, there's nothing holding it up. It's like it took the feet out from under it.
When it started falling into itself, did that falling in itself start at the bottom?
No. Started at about two-thirds up. But that wasn't enough. If it was holding it up, if it was enough to hold it up, why wouldn't it have been enough to knock it over?
Okay. And so
why would the top half have fallen over if that was the critical blow?
If it was that strong.
It was strong enough to melt the foundations.
Didn't melt the foundations.
Well, it had to, or the building wouldn't have fallen into itself.
Okay, that's something else. You're talking about the hypothetical. If it's strong enough.
Not hypothetical.
You're jumping. No, let's follow this. Remember, I'm the one who's trying to understand you. You wait till I figure out what you mean. So I tell you what I think you mean, and then you can correct it. You're saying it's so strong that because the plane didn't knock it off, it should have, like, vibrated so much and then fallen over. I'm not sure about that, but I guess that's what would happen. But it didn't. Now you shift to what did happen, and I need to know where it started collapsing. It started collapsing at the two-thirds thing and went down. Is there something you want to point out about that?
Yes. The point is that either way, either way you paint the picture of the story, you can't get there from them.
Okay, well, try to explain why. You were starting to point out.
Okay.
You're talking about the breaking the foundation. Nothing broke the foundation. It started to crackle at the two-third point and go down, break, layerly down, right?
Well, did it?
I don't know. I don't know. It looked like that. You tell us what happened.
Well, okay. The point is either way, there's a conundrum. The conundrum is, if the plane was powerful enough to bring the entire tower down, then the plane would have been powerful enough to knock
the top off.
Third of the building, and it should have just crumbled like the arm of the Statue of Liberty.
The top third, yes, would have fallen off. We got that. But
if the plane crashed through the whole thing and set this fire of 10,000 degrees Kelvin that melted the very beams that were holding the top third of the building up, then that should have knocked it off, but it didn't. Instead, there was a fire. And that fire apparently melted the girders of the base of the tower. And so when it started falling, imploding into itself, which is an anomaly, it's an impossibility.
Yeah.
That the weight that was suspended through the bomb bombing or the crashing of an airplane wasn't enough to do it. But then finally, the weight started crumbling into itself. And if you look at how the building actually came down, you could not have hired a fleet of demolition experts to make the ground zero pile so perfectly among it on itself.
That's right.
They didn't even destroy the buildings very close to the proximity of it.
Right, it's very neat and tidy, inner implosion. And no
did damage. Some damage, but didn't take out another building.
Right, when the fire from the plane heats the endoskeletal beams, the heat goes down, right?
Works it out. No, heat does not, heat rises, heat does not go down.
So how did the beams below the top third?
We have no idea.
But they do say the fire melted the beams, right?
So if the fire melted the beams and you had a blunt force that sort of sliced through the building that brought the fire to the endoskeletal, why wouldn't that same fire burn on one side before the other side and make the first top of the tower topple toward the where the plane went into the building, and it basically just kind of fall off and leave and maybe take 10 or 12 stories more and still leave 50 stories standing.
Hmm. And they're saying that their scenario, what'd you say?
Doesn't make sense.
Right. So their scenario is that the heat did go down, the fire went down and melted the beams. That's the story. You know that? You agree that that is the story?
These beams, it melted these beams that were so strong that it could take the blunt force of a very large airplane packed full of fuel exploding into it and still not make it fall down.
Right, so a lot of people have pointed out the anomalies and scenario of explanation. It seems to be obvious to anybody from whatever degree of knowledge or design of knowledge they have, they can see that it doesn't make total sense, the explanation, correct?
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. Now, a better working scenario that would work, if you want the physics behind it, would have the plane do a nosedive and slash into the lower 20 floors and go down at an angle and explode it that way, which would snap the endoskeletal basis. Then you have 70 floors of weight that now has nothing under it, and you would have exactly that type of implosion.
Right, 70 floors of weight.
See, that's logical. See, here's the thing, though. Let me get the physics now. If you took that same airplane that hit the Twin Towers and you nosedive that into Ellis Island there at the Statue of Liberty, okay, and hit the base, then yes, the head would fall, the arm would fall, and all the guts would fall.
Yeah.
There would be nothing supporting the base. And it would have the same power, would it not, if it did it from the top or third? Just think, like if you were taking an axe and swinging a tree at a downward angle, you would cut out a big notch, and that big notch then would break the bond that was holding the endoskeleton together, and the timber would fall, or the building would fall, or the statue would fall. But instead, they went climbed the tree to the top, started chopping in the middle third, and then the roots of the tree fell upon themselves, splintered onto themselves. But when you explain it that way, you go, well, bullshit. And it's like, bullshit. You know, you can't get there from there. But here it gets even better. Not only did we do it once, we did it twice. Not once, talk about duality. Not once, but twice. So, I mean, if you didn't believe the first one, you damn sure better believe the next one. So, hang on, we're out of Twin Towers now.
No, if you didn't believe the first one, you can disbelieve the second one.
Well,
disbelieve. It doesn't make any sense. It happened twice, but make the point go home. We did it twice. We made the impossible happened twice.
Yes. Well, it wasn't impossible.
Yeah. How was it done then?
The
connecting part?
That basement, yes.
Would that be under neither?
Under both.
Okay.
They're connected.
Right.
And you've been, you know what it is.
Yeah, okay, so they brought this up the other day, is that thermite or something charges were put through the building. Do you not agree with that?
Step away from the sink a bit because it's breaking up.
Yeah. The theory that there were thermite charges, thermite or something, THER something, they were put through the building and blew up. You were not agreeing with that explanation.
Well, something had to breach the endoskeletal at the base.
Was it the
thermite? Or wouldn't have fallen from itself.
Right, was that thermite?
There are other choices better than thermite.
Okay. So they blew up something. Now, that was attempted in 93. They tried to blow up something at the base.
They pulled in truckloads of, van loads of Duaner, diesel fuel, and ammonia, which is ammonia nitrate, and tried to set off what you call a poor man's blast bomb.
Right.
And that didn't work.
Right, but that was where they did it, at the bottom of the building somewhere. That is not where 2001 happened. The bombs blew up somewhere else or near where they blew up in 93.
They were more precise at their placement.
Were they near where the 93 explosion happened?
Yes, same parking deck.
Parking what?
Parking deck.
Parking deck. And that parking deck is underneath the two towers and connects the two towers, correct?
Yeah.
So it was more precisely, that's where the explosions, the important explosions happen.
Yeah.
And now, why do we bring in Tishman and the guys who made it? Is this a different issue, the collapsing of the towers is different from the Tishman guys who created it?
Can't get there from there. Ask it a different way and we'll answer you.
The Tishman guys would be the only ones who understood where the vulnerabilities are.
They're the experts on the buildings, right?
But they're known. They were an anomaly.
Oh, they disappeared, eh?
Well, what have they built since?
I don't know.
We're talking about 30, 40 years ago, right, Bob? So
yeah, they were still
around for hundreds of years.
Beg your pardon?
If they've been around for hundreds of years, have they not built anything before, during, after, or since?
Very interesting. So they were people from a parallel world.
No, we didn't say that.
Well,
it was just the
beginning of scenarios we're coming up with.
The dummy situation. It's a dummied up corporation to build this grand, beyond itself, technological anomaly.
Right, so what the first idea now comes to mind, that there's these people who've been around for thousands of spans, and they've been around, and they're like the observers in Fringe. They're still here.
That's not the point. The point is the physics, the anomaly conundrum within the physics that allowed it to take place. So it doesn't make sense.
Not the building that allowed it, the destruction to take place.
Well, you can't destruct it that way.
Right. So, okay, I'm just wanting to see what that's referred to. You didn't refer to what you were, the construction or the destruction was the something anomaly, whatever you said a minute ago. You know what I mean? It's important to understand what that sentence referred to. We didn't get it.
Well, you can't blow the building up that way. It's an impossibility.
The way it was blown up cannot be done.
Right.
If you blow up the building down on the park deck, that will not collapse it that way.
But it didn't last time.
That wasn't as well focused, and it was only one bomb.
Yes, and they didn't have a plane flying into it. So maybe the airplane is the whole ticket. You see, the point of the ticket of the airplane didn't do so much. But it did cause enough of a quaking, shaking, that would have caused it to become unstable. But now let's do the larger dynamic of how that doesn't work either.
Mm.
Now, here you go. People are in the stairwells, chasing down 100 flights of stairs. Zoom, 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 zoom. Smoky dark. Now, who set the building on fire? I guess people were nervous that they were smoking with gallons of gasoline in their thermoses. It caused all this smoke to come rushing down the staircases. Well, no, smoke rises.
Mm.
So now you're in the dark and you're choking to death in smoke coming from the base up. Well, if it started, if they blew it up from the base up, how did people get out at all? All the people that were in the staircase is. Many, 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 many of them got out.
Mm.
Many got out.
Right.
But if they blew it up from the base, how did they get out?
I don't know.
Nobody seems to.
Hmm. Is it because they were parallel world travelers and could bypass that, or is there another factor that they have to consider?
Well, it's the more the parallel world traveler is the what you have is the aftermath of 9/11. That's more parallel world than the explanation that they give. They write a 1,000-page book about it, and nobody knows any more than they did. Matter of fact, they know less than they did.
Right, and you're saying that parallel world travel is a more understandable reason?
Well, no. You're saying that the individual people that got out beyond this place that way must have been parallel world travelers, and we're saying no. It would make much more logical sense that those twin towers were from a parallel world to start with.
In other words, we saw something that wasn't happening in our world.
You experienced something that was not within the realm of your possibility.
Wow.
Now, wait a second. That's physics.
Mm-hmm.
Now do you wish you didn't let that go on the other night?
Now do I wish that you didn't go on?
Then we would have gone into this the other couple, 3 nights ago.
No, I can wait. No problem waiting 3 nights. Nothing happened to me the last 3 nights. If I had known that, but I'm sure we learned it today because it's better than 3 days ago.
Must be.
So, I used to say...
But we were considering running a plane into you so you would get your attention, however. It did cross our minds.
Okay, this goes back to when...
All right, simmer down, Connie, back there.
Listen to this. So, when I first heard about objects being placed in Egypt...
Now you're going to draw a parallel we can play with. Very
okay.
Good.
I got from that the obelisk sitting there in Cairo, wherever they sit these obelisks,
yes.
That I asked Ian back 4 or 5 months ago. I walk up and I touch the obelisk. I am touching something that's from another world. It's not in this world. You see what I'm saying?
Sometimes that's true.
Right.
But here's the anomaly. Let's say
that experience, that's the only way I can understand what you're saying. You're saying that the Twin Towers, people lived in them, but they actually were deposited here from another world. And they look like they were in our world, but they were from somewhere else, right? Is that what we're saying? Like me touching the obelisk? It looks like it's in this world, but actually it's vibrating from another space dimension.
We don't want to just answer that. We don't want to just say yes or no. Well, we have a question that might help you consider it a different way. Do you have any news footage, of the construction of the Twin Towers?
I've often thought about, it's vague, about when and how did it start. I mean, we went up there in 76, and I tried to find some stuff years ago, like when did it get finished? When was the day? And there was sort of vague notion. Well, I lived near there in the early 70s, and they were still building it. You can't get it's hard to get some precise information of its arrival.
Exactly. quickly. And you'd think the biggest thing that had ever happened in the United States behind the, the Revolutionary War or the War of 1812, you'd be showing them, they show the building of the Empire State Building.
That's right.
Girder by girder, the WPA, the laying of the bricks, the steel, the people throwing the hot rivets, nailing them into the thing, and all this kind of stuff. Well, they have all that, why don't you have any of this?
Yeah, because I was thinking of the TV series I watched a few years ago on the history of New York City. Really good series by Ken Burns or Richard Burns, Rick Burns, something. And when it comes,
Ken Burns.
And I was really interested when they came to the building of the World Trade Center, because I've been trying to figure out where it came from or who did it, and did the Rockefellers do it or what. And they talked about the building of it and the problem of it, but then they don't show you much. And I remember it, so you didn't get any real footage of the building. It just faded out. It was very imprecise.
Right.
Did not satisfy my curiosity, but when it actually happened. Okay, so you're saying that this was built right in front of everybody by, quote, aliens. Not aliens from other worlds, but just, you know, we're all illegal. Okay, by parallel world, by what? You tell me what they were built, who built them.
We don't know. There's no empirical evidence that it was ever built. Wait a minute, what?
Yeah, it was meant.
Well, okay. Then why hasn't somebody come forth and said, all the rubble that we hauled out of there, somebody should have a receipt from where it came from. Even the temple, even Solomon's temple that was destroyed, they referenced the cedars from Lebanon that were imported to go into the temple that was destroyed. They even tell where those cedar trees from Lebanon were imported from. And that's been a very long time. But you don't have any empirical evidence that any materials were ever ordered for the building and construction of either tower.
Right. Now,
and what was there before the Twin Towers was there.
Right. The cedar information, is that in the Bible or is there a record?
It is.
Okay,
both,
the records are in the Bible.
Both.
Yeah, the Jewish people have archives of it, right?
But they're not all. Cleopatra was watching pretty close, too. She helped finance the girth of it.
Okay, of Solomon's Temple number one?
Two.
Okay, so they took away all the girders after it collapsed in the World Trade Center, and they went off someplace. They took it immediately, and they went somewhere.
They dumped it into the ocean, into the bay.
Were there real girders there?
Well, they should still be in the water, shouldn't they?
Right, and I think you said there's no record of where that stuff went.
Right, or where it came from. Somebody ought to be showing the printing order. Here's where these beams were created in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. They were ordered here, and they were the finest girders that they'd ever produced, and blah, 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 and this is how it works, and this is how wonderful it was, and look at the force that it held up under with a whole plane crashing into it. It wasn't built for that, and yet it still stood, and then the next thing you know, bam, it all comes crumbling down, and then 9 years later, gold is $1,164 an ounce. Never, ever, ever been that before.
Mm. So, we know St. Germain had an involvement in 911.
Mm-hmm.
Did St. Germain have something to do with the building of it?
No.
Does St. Germain know who built it?
No. It's quite an anomaly.
Right, because there might be news footage if you went through the news stations in the 70s. And every year it might have shown.
Go look and see.
What?
Go look and see.
Well, that would require going and visiting. I'm not doing that. I'm just going to think it through this way.
show each year the building a little higher.
It's a world wide web. It gives past, present, future. It gives every example of everything that ever was, ever. And if they don't, then the Wikipedia gives the empirical reference regarding it. Okay, good, good, good. Well, why isn't anybody chit-chatting about this at all?
Okay, so I'm saying that if you saw stock footage of the building every year, it'd be a little higher as they layered it up. But you wouldn't see... how it was done in between, like no one would pay attention. Who would want to pay attention?
Well, there were pretty big buildings in the New York part of the New York sky.
Yeah, and so for 10 or more years, people lived with it in the background, growing, getting taller.
Yeah, but it didn't take them that long to build it.
Okay, well, let's go on the Wikipedia and then probably give us the dates.
Well, and you don't even have to engage that this red hot second. The question that's been established is, what about this? Okay, and that's enough. And
what about this? Like, this being what? Which question?
Why doesn't somebody have to blow in blow by blow by blow of it being built? They've got footage of the Tower of London, the London Bridge, being built before there was any means established. They have got pictures of the Brooklyn Bridge, every layer, every stage, every process.
Are you saying the Tower of London, like, built 400 years ago or something?
Or longer than that.
Okay.
Yeah.
And they've got what of that?
Diagrams, pictures, blow by blow by blow by blow, even now.
Okay.
The George Washington. They have photos, still photographs of the George Washington. Even when they were putting the pylons in. Every dynamic of that.
Every dynamic of the process of the building. Yeah. So they got no... you're not looking up any stuff, so I'm going to look it up, Drew.
Yeah.
I'm going to go and start with the... now, you're saying, no point to look this up.
No, you can look it up. It's just not required for this moment, for the point that we're making. You can play with that in your time later to find out what dynamics there are.
Right.
Don't you worry. Ion said it, so it'll be quizzed. It'll be questioned all the way through. And the point that we're making is how could something this significant be so irrelevant up until the thing falls down?
Right. That's a good point. Very good point. And then you just...
We would say it this way. So the point is, who was the conspirator that built the wall that Humpty Dumpty got up on too high with?
Yeah.
Who built this big wall that Humpty Dumpty fell off of? And what were they thinking when they built such a wall? It was a conspiracy, Bob. They set Humpty Dumpty up.
Did the Rockefellers know?
No, leave the Rockefellers out of it.
Why? They were the ones who paid for it, supposedly.
Well, then they got screwed, didn't they?
Well, they gave the contract to the Tishman.
Well, I understand, but... Okay.
And you can't give us any indication of who did this.
Who did what, Bob?
Who built them? Who these Tishman people? That there's no record. Why there's no record? Why is that?
There's just no record. There's just...
Yeah, the fucking angels built it. Ain't saying yet. Too early. Too early in the adventures of the mind here. Anybody there?
Yes, Bob.
Yeah, see, back then, I think that he should have some human name that built it. it's too early to say angels or something like that built it.
Yeah. Yeah.
I wouldn't have accepted it. I would have fired Ion for ridiculous speculation. It's also clear, very clear, the recording. Okay, carry on. What do we get? I don't know, another... Might be another hour or something.
There's no record. But you want to know something better than that? So the Rockefellers, they really did get screwed. That's a force majeure, a terrorist, so therefore the insurance wouldn't pay. And they lost their property because now it's a memorial. So who remunerated the Rockefellers for a very, 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 very expensive piece of real estate? But they get a tax credit for it?
Well, Silverstein, Larry Silverstein, acquired it. The lease in July 2001, was he in on it? In on what was really going on?
Apparently.
Some people are suspicious of that. It says, you know, looking at the history, planning and construction. The idea of establishing a World Trade Center in New York City was first proposed in 1946. The New York State Legislature passed a bill authorizing Governor Dewey to begin developing plans for the project, but the plans were put on hold in 1949. During the late 40s and 50s, economic growth in New York City was concentrated in Midtown Manhattan, while Lower Manhattan was left out. I remember this was in the history of New York City. To help simulate urban renewal, David Rockefeller suggested that the Port Authority build a World Trade Center in Lower Manhattan. Initial plans made public in 61 identified a site along the East River for the World Trade Center. As a bi-state agency, the Port Authority required approval from both the governors of New York and New Jersey in order to undertake new projects. Governor Robert B. Maynard objected to New York getting a $35 million project. So at the end of 61, regulations... negotiations with outgoing New Jersey Governor Maynard reached a stalemate. At the time, ridership on New Jersey's Hudson and Manhattan Railroad had declined substantially from a high of 113 million riders in 27 to 26 million in 58 after new automobile tunnels and bridges had opened across the Hudson River. December 61 meeting between Port Authority Director Tobin elected New Jersey Governor Hughes, the Port Authority offered to take over the Hudson and Manhattan Railroad to have it become the Port Authority Trans-Hudson Path. The Port Authority also decided to move the World Trade Center project to the Hudson Terminal building on the west side of Lower Manhattan, a more convenient location for New Jersey commuters arriving by a path. New location and what? You laugh at that point? A more convenient location?
No, it's good. It's good.
What is...
Bob. Bob.
I can hear you, Bert. The recording stopped.
Okay. Thank you.